Are there any questions what we've talked about so far? Yes, sir.
So Gnosticism, I guess, I don't know if I'm right, but it's that God is not with us, right? That it's like...
yeah, that's a pretty good way to put it.
That he's up there and we're down here, and he's unapproachable, and we can't get to him. Kind of like the church steeple.
Yeah, it blows my mind that these people, and it was very prevalent, but it snuck back in. I personally don't think it ever left. It's just become so huge, but that very thing is that we act like, oh yes, oh God. But I remember listening to preachers go, oh Lord, we do not presume to come before thy throne. And presume to come? Shut up already. I don't presume to come before the throne. My Lord told me to approach the throne boldly. He wants me there. He wants relationship. Thank you. He wants relationship with me. Go ahead.
Is it a doctrine?
At one time, there were, and they historically in the church, there were people that they've got the names of them and everything that taught this stuff. I don't think anybody now would fess up to preaching it or teaching it. Why? Because in seminary, they learn about this pretty quickly. Oh, this is terrible. But then what do? They come back after saying it's not true and begin to speak about it's true.
It's in the belief system.
Yeah, and they add it back in. Oh, we don't believe like that. Yes, you do. It's amazing, but we do. And they then go and preach all of these things. The only thing they don't do is say that the creation was created by a lesser God. But all the rest of the stuff is part of their theologies, amazingly. Yeah. Anyone else? Sir?
So is this the same Gnostic where we would get the word agnostic? It seems like it doesn't quite work.
It doesn't, but see, Gnostic, the word Gnostic means knowledge, gnosis, okay? Yeah, and that's what it means. The opposite of, I'm not sure, neutral. And so the agnostic is somebody, it could be, I just don't know, okay? And now it makes sense once you understand that the Greek word means to know. Anyone else? Sir?
Yeah, just an observation of the teaching that you can't, that God is unknowable. Well, then, just logically, how do you even know that there's a God if you can't know him? If you say that you know that there is a God that you can't know, it's self-refuting.
Yeah, I would think. I mean, In our religion, that's almost what we teach. I'm amazed as I listen to people say things, and you'll be reading in some book that some theologian has written or whatever. I've watched this. They'll say this. And in fact, when I was reading, I never finished reading the book. I was really disappointed because the person said, okay, here's these beliefs, and he was bringing up different theologies, and then he brought up dispensationalism. And he said, dispensationalism is wrong here, here, and here. And I'm serious. Before the page ended, he went, but, and went back to, this book is going to be basically based on dispensationalism. I thought, you've got to be kidding. Are you listening to yourself? The fear of man made him refuse to embrace. This is false. This is false stuff. He said it, and then he went back and said, "But you know, it's prevalent. The theologians believe it, and so we have to go. Well, it's got to be true. That's not so. It's going on for 2,000 more than that. The rabbis were the theologians of their days. Pharisees and Sadducees. Yes, sir.
Something interesting, I was just thinking, to believe in some of these things, like Gnosticism, you'd almost have to believe in dispensationalism, like that God changes and
yes.
he's different than he used to be. Or you've just never read the Bible, because it's like, it's very clear that people knew God. You see, like Enoch, that walked with God. Moses, oh, pretty much.
And what are they saying?
So many people.
It was a different dispensation.
Yeah.
The apostles, well, they were a different dispensation. They were special people. And that gives us the excuse. I'm telling you, because you're saying something very much right. That kind of belief gives you the excuse. It's a different time. God acted differently back then. This was the apostolic dispensation, and the apostles were treated this way. How do we say it today? Well, I'm no saint. You're supposed to be. And you know, it's amazing to me. It's the enemy, folks. The enemy of our soul has gotten in and said and taught so many things that are false. And I find this interesting, because as I was studying and looking more into Gnosticism in some ways that I have in the past, and going, oh my, this is still so prevalent in the church. We claim that it's not there, and it is there. And when you look at this, Satan follows so many times the same patterns. I wonder sometimes, as I look, is he restricted? Has God restricted him in some of these patterns, that this is as far as you're going to get? But the church still eats it up, just loves it. And I'm not being bad about the church. I'm talking about me too, because I've believed these things. But once I started looking at Scripture and met the true God, it's not that way anymore, obviously. Ms. Davis? Anybody else? Sir?
I was talking to this one guy, and somehow we got on the thing of dispensationalism, that God changes, he's different, and I brought up a verse, and I don't know where the verse is, but it says that God changes not. And I had said this to him, and he's like, yeah, but you see, this was written before he changed, so therefore...
Oh,
it's just
oh,
nothing you can say, really. I mean, it's like, okay, you're unwilling to hear.
So that was written before him. That's amazing. Oh, it's the devil talking. That's right. That's amazing, because the Bible, which one of the things we look at is the accuracy of the prophecies. So it gives a prophecy. God doesn't change. But to the dispensationalist, he changes. What's their excuse? It was back then. And of course, that's the excuse always. That was for them back then. That was for God back then. It's not the God back then. Oh, that's sick. Joe?
Just with Gnosticism and the Gnostic and different things, it's always, and I say this a lot, but it's just on a very practical level, it's always the pushing away of responsibility.
Yes.
And grabbing an excuse for why I can't or don't want to fulfill that responsibility. At whatever means necessary, even if it's illogical, we or other people will use excuses of why either A, you can't have a relationship with God. If it's us, believers, we'll come up with an excuse why our relationship isn't right with God. Why there's separation. We may have a relationship, but there's separation in our lives with him, but there's always a good reason. There's always a good excuse of, I could only get so far with him, and it's just me.
It's always his fault.
It's always his fault. Even though he's the faithful one, even though he's the one who doesn't lie, even though he's the one who says these things, he still has the problem and not me. And I can't meet him unless it's on my terms. And I'm in the same arena as the Gnostic when I push away responsibility and being one with God and abiding in his shadow. And if I'm The thing is, what overshadows your life is what overshadows other people's lives. And when you're living in fear, that fear flows through into other people's lives around you. And when you're in the one whose peace, that peace overshadows those around you with peace. And it's everything in God. When I'm in the shadow of God, His light overshadows those around me. And just, it's my, even when we're going through creation in Genesis and in 1 Corinthians, and you even see in Revelation, but it's always, we've been given a responsibility to rule.
Yes, that's and right. From it, the beginning. Go ahead. You're,
and
is
it's
good.
Not
right.
It's not a privilege as much as it is a responsibility. And I remember this, and I told you guys this before, but I just think it's a very good foundational teaching to listen to. It's by Rabbi Zacharias, and I think it's called Origins, Meaning, Destiny, something. It's either that one or Tolerance Under Fire. It's one of those two. But he talks about a lot of this stuff. But one of the examples he gave was the guy's, National Geographic guy's filming for polar bears. And the polar bear tries to get a seal, but can't get a seal. And I think the polar bear, the guy is narrating, he's like, it looks like this polar bear is going to die because he couldn't get food. And he jumped to the conclusion saying, it's mankind's fault for global warming because we have polluted and destroyed the amount of ice, which means it took longer for the polar bear to find food, and therefore the polar bear dies, and it's man's fault. And he said, how does moral responsibility get placed on the man and not the seal or the polar bear? And he was basically bringing up the point, out of all creatures in creation, why does the fault finding and responsibility always point back to man? Why isn't it any other creation? It's always man. And he says, you have to ask first, where does morality come from? And second, where does responsibility, why is it placed on man? And just whenever there's separation from God, where these different philosophies that we've gone through in the logic course of this this one, Gnosticism, in many ways is a philosophy, but it's always pushing responsibility on someone else, and putting the blame for why I'm not right. And it's because I want to live my way, and God can come join my life and bless me in my ways, not His. And so it's just, we've been given responsibility, but we've also been given His law and His ways, His requirements to fulfill that relationship.
That's great. Yeah, amen. Thank you, Joe. Why is that? It's of all people, Rush Limbaugh was talking about this a while back in one of his discussions about God. And he says, why is it that God, or not God, but man is not part of nature? You see, it's, we're the ones that are doing this stuff. We're not part of this. And again, that's one of the ways that we do it. Oh, man is doing the polluting. Man is doing this stuff. But honestly, we've got responsibility. We just don't want it. And where we do the ruling and reigning is supposed to be responsible. Now, I'm telling you, folks, you think about this now. Who? Our country's in a mess. I mean, we are in a mess. And we go, somebody needs to do something. Biblically, there's only one group that can. And it ain't the Republicans, the Democrats, and it's not President Trump. Should we be praying for him? Yes. But the the only group that's going to fix this is going to be those that can fix it by the power of God. And the way that has to happen is we have to repent. Repent of our wicked ways, what is it? Humble ourselves, which means under the word, and pray. Yeah. So in other words, it's, and I'm not going to say it's the church because it's not the church. But the true ecclesia, do we need to be meeting together? That'd be nice, but I don't hold my breath for it. But we need to be praying for it. Sir?
It also kind of warrants that we let completely go of any worry over the land, because in any region where someone doesn't turn, he's not going to heal it. And it's probably not the best to even be praying for the land
to
be healed, because they're not turning.
Yeah.
So if, I mean, the world wants us to be focused on the environment, not only focused on it, but
worshiping
it. And the Lord's already said, this is a condition for healing the land, and I will do it for you. You're not going to do it.
That's right.
The world says, all the land needs to be healed, even at the expense of human life, and that we're going to do it ourselves. And it's just enemy trying to get us to fret. But, I mean, sometimes if we see a land that isn't healed, I mean, we ought to seek the Lord in that too and even be grateful, because
there's reasons for it. Just like right. We brought up before, there are some people groups that have to have a dictator. How can that be? Because they don't have God ruling over them. There are very few Muslim countries that are, in fact, I don't think there's any, that are democracies. There's a couple that call themselves that, but they're not. Okay? It's not. Why? They can't handle it. Why? Their God is a God of tyranny. That's what they believe. And they are, the Bible even talks about it. Where is it that Esau, remember that? When it's talked about Esau? What was the statement of Isaac over Jacob, over Esau? Anybody remember? Come on.
But he would be like a man.
Uh-huh.
Oh,
remember? He would live. What direction would he live? From everyone.
I thought that was Ishmael.
Oh, you're right. I'm sorry. Ishmael. I'm sorry. Thank you. Ishmael. What? Do you remember what it was? Ishmael. This is the beginning of the Arabs, folks. What does it say? Where did he live? What direction? Remember it? You don't. He will be against it. He's going to be a wild donkey of a man. And they would live to the east.
16.
Read it, Joe.
12.
This is just fascinating stuff. This is the beginning of the Arab nations.
The angel of the Lord said to her further, "Behold, you are with child, and you will bear a son, and you shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord has given heed to your affliction. He will be a wild donkey of a man. His hand will be against everyone, and everyone's hand will be against him. He will live to the east of all his brothers." Then she called him the name of the Lord, who spoke to her, "You are God who sees." For she said, "Have I even remained here?" Yeah, anyways, that's about it.
I mean, when you read that, if you're paying any attention at all, how many years ago was this? 3,000 at the minimum? Boy, did they get that nailed down right. I mean, wow. We need to stop.